Sermon for tonight, if you want to open your Bibles to Isaiah 55. Our pastor this morning mentioned about God shows himself through nature, and he talked about the oil and the gold and the silver and so forth having to go through pressure in the earth, and then how the pearl was formed over time, these different examples. And so I've got another example that the Lord uses in nature to reveal himself, and that's rain. And it's been a pretty rainy year here, but it's been rainy, it seems like, for the last few years. There's been even some pretty major flooding going on, and I'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But rain can be quite an amazing thing. And even just, was it last Wednesday night, we had quite the storm here with the hail and everything, and the flooding and the traffic that we have to deal with, but it's a wonderful thing. And well, let's start here in Isaiah 55. We're going to start in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And I know this verse 10 is a very precious verse that we quote often in our meeting here, that because we love the Word of God, we treasure the Word of God, and when there's a statement like this, that his Word goes forth, it shall not return void. We love to know that. But it will accomplish what he pleases and prosper wherever he sends it. And that's a precious thing to us, and I'm so thankful we treasure the Word of God in this place. But as it says in verse 10, it says, as the rain comes down, and then in verse 11 starts out, so shall my word be. So the rain is like the word of God, and it's compared to that. And I like how this portion, I started from verse 6, and I think verse 7 and verse 13 kind of tied together. If you look at some of the things it says there, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then verse 13 talks about the thorn and the fir tree and the briar and the myrtle tree. And I think these kind of tie together. The thorn is like the wicked man. And it says, the Lord says, if he would forsake his way and turn to the Lord, he would show mercy upon him. And in verse 13 it says, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. The fir tree is an evergreen. So the evergreen tree speaks of resurrection. And so when we turn to the Lord, we have new life. We have that new resurrection life, that's everlasting life. That old creation that is dead. And so that's part of that there. And then then it goes on to say, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and the Lord will abundantly pardon. And so the unrighteous man could be like the briar, it talks about in verse 13. And that what should come up for him is the myrtle tree, and where it says abundantly pardon or forgiveness. Well, the myrtle tree is a very fragrant tree, and so it speaks to us of the fragrance of Christ, that we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, those that believe. And so the unrighteous man, if he turns to the Lord, he can be a sweet fragrance unto God. And then it goes on to say at the end of the verse there, it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And in the New Testament terms, that just means that to the praise of his glorious grace. thank the Lord for what he accomplishes there and from taking us from what we were and making us what he wants us to be. But so the rain, as we're talking about here, getting back to the rain, representing the word of God, it can come down as a nice, gentle rain that turns things green. As in the Song of Moses, it says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and the showers upon the grass." So just a nice, gentle rain coming down from the Lord is one way his word can come down. But, you know, it can also be like Noah's flood. And the windows of heaven can open, and there can be rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And in the case of Noah there, it says, you know, that all flesh died that moved upon the earth. So that was quite a torrent of rain. And there was an incident that happened back in September of 2013 with the flooding we had here. And we've got a cabin up in the mountains that was, the flooding went all around there. And, you know, and we're not a real wet state here in Colorado, but, you know, maybe I'm just guessing that maybe 18 inches of rain a year, if that's even that much. Well, we got 18 inches of rain in 4 days up there, and it flooded everything. We had a little stream that went down this road, that county road. We went up to our cabin, and you didn't even hardly notice it was there, and it got washed out that it was from here to that wall and maybe 10, 20 foot deep, a big gully washed through there because all of the rain that came down that canyon and just tore it out. You know how it tore out the roads and everything. So, you know, the rain can be quite destructive like that. It can flood and so forth. Well, God's word, if you'll receive it, and his word to his children can be like that gentle rain, as the scriptures say, showers of blessing, you know, and we'll receive it like that. But to those that reject his word and those that refuse it, it might come as a flood of destruction. And God's going to have his way, and he doesn't want to destroy. He doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. God wants men to repent. He gave everything he had. He gave his son that we would all have life. He doesn't want us to perish. But if we will refuse his word, the rain, we refuse that, we refuse his son, then the flood, the destructions, that's our only other option that's going to happen. We're not going to have any other choice. So thank the Lord that he's gotten a hold of our hearts and tendered our hearts, that we want to receive the word of God and receive those blessings. And so going back to this portion here, he says he sends out the rain that it might bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So God sends out his word. He wants fruit in our lives. And this is just an example of that, the seed and the bread. But he intends for us to have fruit, for us to grow. And so he sends his word. He provides everything that we need. Just as our pastor said this morning, that God provides everything for us to walk in, but we do have to walk in it. It's our choice to walk in what he gives us or not. And so these rains, we can have the choice of receiving them or refusing them. But God desires fruit in our lives. And let's turn over to John 15, a familiar portion again about fruit. John 15, starting in verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." So starting out in that first verse, my Father's the husbandman. He's the one that's the gardener, the farmer, as it were. And he tends that. And Jesus is the vine. And every branch that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. And the Lord knows our lives if it's going to bear fruit or not. And there is times when he'll realize a life is not going to bear any more fruit, and he might take that life away. And I've seen it happen. And we don't want that. We want to go on with what the Lord has for us. As it goes on to say here, every branch that bears fruit, he purgeth it. And that is pruning. He prunes it. Just like the sermon this morning. He chastens those he loves. He doesn't prune the branch to punishment or anything. He prunes it so that, as it says here, to bring forth more fruit. And the Lord, in the sermon this morning, the chastisement we receive is that we would grow up. And the pruning here is that we would grow up, bring forth more fruit. The Lord sees those that are bringing forth fruit, and he'll bring a pruning, and it's to correction, to direct and instruct, to train up a plant or a person, in this case, to do and be what God wants it to be. So to bring forth more fruit. And of course, as Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We so know that. I learn that more every day. But just that, going on it in verse 8, my Father's glorified that you bear much fruit. So God sends the rain, and it's his purpose is that we would bear fruit. And that's what pleases him. And it's what glorifies him. And there's an example of this. Now, if we go back to Isaiah, go to Isaiah chapter 5. And we'll see an example of Israel and how God wanted them to bear fruit. And I just love the wonderful ways God illustrates these in like little stories or and you'll just in this portion here, starting Isaiah 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore then, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. There's those briars and thorns we already read about. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. And this is, as you know, speaking of Israel. And the Lord gave them everything they needed, and in abundance. He provided all things for them, and he was their God. And he revealed himself to them. He proved himself to them over and over. And yet they turned from him. They turned away from God and served idols. They wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't listen to the prophets. And he said that he would just, as it says here, that he will take away the hedge, and it's going to be laid waste. And when Jesus was here, and he prayed over Jerusalem, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," but he said, "Your house is left unto you desolate," and that's how they were. God gave them everything, and they went another way. They didn't want what he had for them. They didn't bring forth the fruit that he looked for, and so he left them desolate. And this, you know, is a picture of our country, I think, today almost. And I'm not going to try to be political at all, but this morning David talked about this, and Ty talked about it. But, you know, the Lord has blessed our country and made it the greatest nation on earth right now. And we've had godly forefathers to go forth. We've been blessed with many spiritual men, preachers throughout the years. We've been blessed with the Bible all over the place and the references and so forth. But our country is turning away more and more from the Lord and from the Word of God. And it's sad. God's given us everything. He's given us, like it says here, you know, I planted this. I've given you this great land. And for us, we didn't, we had those that were, we were servants to. The Lord delivered us from that, gave us independence. And now, you know, they're passing laws and the government's, it's just sad to see what's going on. And, you know, the Lord's very gracious, but he won't put up with it forever. And just as he did with Israel, he put up with it for a long, long time for them, hundreds of years that they went on the way they did. And he warned them and pleaded with them, turn to me and, you know, repent from what you're doing. But we also know in the Word of God that the evil of man is going to wax worse and worse. And we're not looking for a revival. We're not expecting that because we know what the Word of God says. But just it's sad for our country because we've truly been blessed. And I hate to see just in the last even weeks the things that have gone on. It's a grief to my heart. And so, but, you know, surely the Lord's coming soon. These things tell us as man turns further and further away from the Lord, it's going to be a time when he's going to say enough's enough, and he's going to come back and he'll set it straight. And won't that be wonderful? As we look forward to that. So thank the Lord. But, you know, the Lord doesn't just send the rain on his own people. It says that he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. In fact, my sister did that once. We were going out of the church one time and walking out with some other saints, and Nita turned to them and said, you know, God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And she walked off, and they were like, they felt, no, she's just a goof. But anyway, but he does. He sends his rain, and he sends his word to all. I've got a note here in Colossians 1, verses 5 and 6. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So that word, the word of the truth of the gospel, has gone forth into all the world. The rain God sends on the whole world. And here, as it says, brings forth fruit in those who, the ones that heard it and knew the grace of God in truth, the ones that receive it. The grace of God is there for them, and it's to whosoever will. So the word of God, as the rain here, as we're talking about, it falls on the just and the unjust, and it can have two effects. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 6 and see an example of the two ways you can go by when the word comes to you. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 9. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And a lot of people look at that and think you can lose your salvation, but that's not what it's talking about. And this next verse helps to explain that. Verse 7, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth, there's those thorns and briars again, is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So you see how the word comes down, the rain comes down, and all have heard it. We just read there in Colossians, the word's gone to the whole world, the gospel. But those that would receive it, as it says here, brings forth herbs, meat, by them for whom it is dressed, and receives blessings from God. So if we will bring forth fruit, God's pleased and we're blessed. But those that bear thorns and briars are rejected. And really, that the thorns and briars is the old creation. If you're going to try to come to God in the old creation, it's not going to work. It goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. Abel brought the lamb. God says, bring me the lamb, and Abel brought the lamb. And God accepted that. But Cain didn't listen to what God said, and he brought his own efforts, the best that man could do. And God rejected him. He refused that. And it says that those that do that, and anyone that tries to come to God, and that's man's natural thought, is like, what, you know, how can I impress God? I'll do the best I can. I'll torture myself. I'll do this or that, or I'll be good to so-and-so for a day, or, whatever. I'll say I'm sorry. But it takes a whole new creation. This old nature is a sinful nature, and it can act good for a little bit, but it's not. And God knows our hearts, and it takes a whole new creation, and we need to be born again. We need to have the life of Christ in us. That's the life that can't sin. So anytime man would come to God with his own efforts, his own work, that's these briars and thorns, and it's God's going to reject it. And it says that they're nigh unto cursing. Well, thorns, in the Bible are a type of the curse. And in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God said, "Cursed is the ground for your sakes," and that it would bring forth thorns and thistles. And so that's part of the curse, is the thorns. And we know when the soldiers mocked Jesus, they made a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And when Jesus was on the cross, it says that he was made a curse for us. He took that curse upon himself so that we would have life, and that so we would not have to face that curse. He took all that for us. God made the way for all mankind. And all we have to do is accept it and take it in, receive that rain, as it were. So, but again, God looks for that fruit. He sends the rain to bring forth fruit. And another, one of the meanings of rain is to pour out. And look at Joel chapter 2. And see, Joel 2, verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." So God prophesied back then that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And we know that that happened on the day of Pentecost. Peter quotes that. And so God poured out his spirit. And it's like the rain being poured out. He pours out the rain to us. And, there's some that received the Holy Spirit and were filled, and some that rejected that. But that was also referred to in the Bible as there's the early and the latter rain. And it talks about that in a natural sense. But in the spiritual sense, the early rain was in Pentecost there in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost was poured out. And the latter rain happened somewhere in the early 1900s here when the Holy Ghost was poured out again. And the same thing again. Many received the Holy Spirit and received that latter rain and took it into themselves and were so blessed by it. And then there's many that resisted it. And even today, it's the same way. We so want our loved ones to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we pray for that. And tell them about it and try to show them in the scriptures that this is what God wants for your life. Part of that pamphlet our pastors put on the website there about the Paramount Truths talks a lot about the Holy Spirit, because that's so important. We need the Holy Spirit to give us the power to live an overcoming life and to reveal the truth to us. And in this meeting we teach, and you know it here, a lot of people don't know this, but the Holy Spirit is the one sent by God to find a bride for his son, Jesus Christ. And so you want to have God's best, you've got to have the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to reveal to you who Jesus is, and the one that's going to woo you on and that proposal there. So it is kind of sad that we know the wonderful, how it's been when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and how it changes our lives, and how the scriptures become alive so much more to us. And it's a night and day difference. And so anyone that's not hasn't been filled, I definitely would encourage you to do that. And that's, again, part of what we do at camp. We really have many that tarry at the altar to be filled. And it's a precious time. It's a needful thing, and it's a wonderful time. And, again, it's a letting go. That's why it's so good to do at camp, because we don't have all the distractions and things getting at us like we've got a deadline to go get somewhere. At camp, you can tarry at the altar for hours, and it's just fine. And, the world's not there. You're not missing a TV show or something else. it's all about the Lord. And so we seek the Holy Spirit. We so want everyone to have the Holy Spirit. That's that latter rain. But then going on from that, as I mentioned, that the Holy Spirit's here to find a bride for God's Son, Jesus Christ. And we hear that message in this place, but again, it's a rare thing. And there's many, if you think about over the years in this place, that so many have come through these doors and heard that message. And some of them even have laid a hold of it for a time, but then they left their first love. And they're not going on. And so that rain fell. That rain fell on everyone, but you need to embrace that. Let that rain soak in. Drink of that rain and treasure it to yourselves. Don't take it lightly and say, well, I've heard that before, and but now I've got something else I got to do right now. I'll get back to that later or whatever. God has to be first in your life. This is, when you think about a wedding, the man and woman have to be first in each other's lives. And, of course, under God, of course, we put God first. But I mean in natural, you have to have each other first. You can't say, well, I've got such and such. My job's a little more important, and I'll take care of that first, and then I'll take care of you or whatever it is. It doesn't work that way. And the same with Jesus Christ. He has to be first in our lives. And we need to treasure that message and to treasure the Word of God and to get out in the rain, get a drink, let the Lord, He's pouring it out still, even though, again, there's a falling away at this time. It isn't on God's part. He doesn't change. He's still pouring out the rain. He's still pouring out His Word to us. And especially as we treasure it in this place, the Word of God is abundant. And just so thankful for that. And I would just encourage anyone here or anyone that hears this message that they would just seek the things of God. Put that first in your life. Don't miss out. We know that the Lord will bless those that drink, but those that refuse it, they're just going to miss out. And it's really what you want. God will meet you. So I hope this has been an encouragement to you. And we do love the Word of God. We are so thankful for it. And just continue on. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. And the Lord will surely bless us. And glory to God. So let's stand and be dismissed.